Well, good morning and welcome to our service here as we gather together as church this Sunday morning. You're welcome if you're watching us live. There's a number of people who are, and if you watch us later in the day, someone told me this week that they watch us Sunday evening. I'm sure maybe there's other opportunities during the week that you find to be joining with us in these strange times. If you have any prayer requests, please do mark them in the comments. Also, if you have any thoughts or reflections, as both Claire and I are doing things this morning, it gives us a chance to reflect after our service. And you might have seen, we do a little podcast on Monday morning, a chance for us just to unload a little bit of our thoughts from our Sunday, from speaking to people over the weekend. So have a look at the podcast. It goes live, by a Monday afternoon. You can also visit our prayer wall on our website where you can write prayers. Please do have a look. There's a number already taking shape there this morning. This evening, Bismarck continues to lead our prayer ministry this evening at 8 o'clock on Zoom. He's going to lead us as we pray for our church ministries, those activities that consume a lot of our energies as a church, as we prepare to reopen the building and think and pray through what God's where God's guiding us to put our resources in these days ahead. Please do check the website, have a look on Facebook. Lots of things happening as we build up to Easter. You might have seen our little Gardens of Hope that Diana is leading on. There's a video explaining how to be involved. There'll be leaflets going around the village. So please do make note of that. Before Sarah leads us in our time of sung worship, I just want to pray for us this morning. Lord God, we thank you for the gathered church in these strange days. I pray we might know your presence even though we're not together. And as our world continues to change, as rules change, give us wisdom and discernment to know how to live out our lives. And as we hold this precious message as a church, help us to share that with those around us. And Lord God, as we gather today, be present with us now. Amen. Over to Sarah.
Good morning, everyone. Let's worship together.
Say Sings my soul.
Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Hello everyone. Today we've been gardening. You like gardening. Yes, and you were very helpful. Last year we made a new planting area. It looked beautiful when we first made it. Yes, it did. But it had got very overgrown and there were lots of dead bits which needed cutting down. And weeds that need pulling out. Yes, and some of the plants needed thinning out. So we put them in pots to put in the church garden. Some like this. They're very pretty. And we'll put them in the church garden. We must keep the church garden looking nice and remember to water it, or all the plants will die, unless we get a lot more rain. You're right, Clive. It's really important when you make a new garden that you look after it and you water it and care for the plants that are growing there. That way you keep it looking beautiful. Yes, and it grows into something beautiful too. It's no good creating something beautiful if you then don't take care of it. Our Father God is the Creator God. The Bible tells us that He has made everything beautiful in its time. He made a beautiful world. He did indeed. And He made us too. Did you know that when God made the world, He looked at everything He had made and said, "It is good." What, everything? Yes, everything. Have you ever thought about that? That when God made you, He looked at you and said, "Wow, I've done a good job there. You are so beautiful and I love you very much." And God didn't just make a beautiful world, but He also sustains it. What does that mean? It means that God looks after and cares for and nourishes all that He has made. Just as we had to sustain our garden by watering it and cutting down the overgrowth and clearing out the rubbish, so God sustains the whole world. He holds all things together. He sends the sun and rain in season. And the Bible says that He sustains everything with His powerful word. That sounds very reassuring. It is. It's really good to know that our Father God loves us and cares for us and looks after us, just as He loves and cares for and looks after everything He has created. God rested when He had made the whole world, didn't He? Yes, He did. So after all that hard work in the garden, we can have a rest now. Well, I think you deserve a rest. And you need sustaining. With cake. I should have known. But yes, a rest and a cuppa and a slice of cake sounds a good plan to me. And if you want, you can have a go at creating a beautiful garden. Why don't you take part in our Garden of Hope competition? All the details can be found on the website or on our Facebook page. You're going to make one. And you will try to remember to sustain it. That's good. But let's say goodbye before we go. So it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Clive. And we'll see you again next time. Have a good week and be blessed.
There was nothing. They listened. In the darkness, something was happening at last. A voice had begun to sing. Its lower notes were deep enough to be the voice of the earth itself. There were no words. There was hardly even a tune. It was so beautiful, you could hardly bear it. The voice was suddenly joined by other voices, higher up, more than you could possibly count, all in harmony. And in the blackness overhead, all at once, was blazing with stars. One moment there had been nothing but darkness. Next moment, 1,000,000 points of light leapt out, single stars, constellations and planets. The new stars and the new voices began at exactly the same time. The voice on the earth was louder now and more triumphant. Something else was happening. Far away and down near the horizon, the sky began to turn grey. A light, very fresh wind began to stir. The sky grew slowly and steadily paler, shapes of hills standing up dark against it. All the time, the voice went on singing. Soon there was light enough to see. The sky changed from white to pink and from pink to gold. The voice rose and rose till the air was shaking with it, and just as it swelled to the mightiest and most glorious sound it had yet produced, the sun arose. You could imagine that it laughed for joy as it came up. Its beams shot across the land onto valley, river and mountains and hills of earth, rock and water. The earth was of many colours. They were fresh, hot and vivid. The song changed. It was softer and more lilting than the song by which he had called up the stars and the sun, a gentle rippling music. The valley grew green with grass. It ran up the sides of the hills like a wave. In a few minutes, it was creeping up the lower slopes to the distant mountains. The light wind could now be heard ruffling the grass. The higher slopes grew dark with heather. Little spiky things threw out their arms and covered these arms with green and grew larger and larger. Trees. Trees swayed gently on the grass, sprinkled with daisies and buttercups. The song continued. Now it was more like a tune, but far wilder. The earth bubbled up and burst forth with every type of animal. Dogs barked, frogs went straight with a plop and a croak into the river. Panthers and leopards groomed themselves and sharpened their claws. Showers of birds came out of the trees, butterflies fluttered, bees got to work on the flowers as if they hadn't a second to lose. You could hardly hear the song over the cawing, cooing, crowing, braying, neighing, baying, barking, lowing, bleating and trumpeting. Then it was silent. He opened his mouth and breathed a long breath. There came a swift flash like fire, and the deepest, wildest voice said, "Awake, love, think, speak.
Be.
Well, thank you for that, Sam. You might have noticed, sorry, my mic's... Can I have the other one, Tosh? Well, sorry about that. We've swapped over microphones now, so hopefully you should be able to hear us. In that little video, Sam made us a little planet. He's actually gone on to make a few more. I wonder if you can guess which planets they are. They're sitting behind me. Now, Sam made this planet, and then he finished it. It probably will end up sitting on a shelf for a while until the Lego needs for something else. But you see, our world was made, but they're not just put on the shelf. Our world is continually being sustained. And it's God's creation and sustaining that we're going to think a little bit about this morning. Eugene Ionesco said, "Over-explanation separates us from astonishment." Over-explanation. I don't want to over-explain things this morning, but I want us to find astonishment. You see, our creation story that we have in Scripture is a gift to the world. But it's important we have to understand the gift we've been given. If we misuse it or misunderstand it, we can find ourselves misusing and misunderstanding the nature of God as creator and sustainer. I wonder how you approach the creation story, because that's where we start. In my young years as a teenager, I grew up in probably what would be described as a fundamentalist church, and Genesis was read as science embedded inside of it. It's called Concordism. It seeks to over-explain modern scientific understanding into ancient text. Maybe you have your own understanding of the Genesis account. Maybe it was handed down to you from parents or church or books that you might read. I wonder how you approach the text. I want to do honor to the text this morning. I can't read it and understand it as a modern person. I can't put that onto that account. I don't think Genesis has a hidden scientific message that if we could just unlock it, we might be able to grasp some new revelation. I don't think that's what Genesis is about. You see, Genesis 1 was not written by modern scientists. It represents an ancient understanding of cosmology. Written in 1500 BC, it represents the view of creation or the created world that someone had from 1500 BC. It's not rocket science, is it? That person didn't understand that stars in the sky were suns, or that the earth was spherical, or that we were moving through space. They didn't know that the sun was that much further away than the birds flying in the air. It's not to ridicule that, they just didn't know. I'm sure in 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years' time, people would look back on our understanding and not and just question us, why did you believe that? That's what they believed 1,500 BC. Last week I shared that our creation story is quite an extraordinary story compared to others around the same time. Those stories have the world being created out of spontaneous combustion or out of the hole in the ground or a mythological figure or even an act of violence. But the Genesis account makes it clear that there's one reason why we are here on this planet, and it's not an accident, it's by design, by a designer. I don't want to get overly focused on the hermeneutics of Genesis, hopefully you'll be relieved, but rather understand the purpose of both of the creation stories that we have. The Genesis account was passed down as a story of God's people's beginnings. It showed where that nation came from. But the Genesis account isn't, it's not only about creation. Only the first few chapters are about creation. The grand narrative of Genesis is that God is creative. We don't just want to focus on the origins, because it's not just about how things begun, but why they exist. Creation is present tense. I've learned that from homeschooling Sam and Jacob over these last few months. I'm not great with my old grammar. God wasn't creative in the past. Back then he was. He's actively creative today. When we see the world around us, it holds something of God's creative nature. The essence of God's creative nature is in all things. He didn't create this world out of nothing. He created it out of himself. The very image of God is in the world that we inhabit. Psalm 96 says, "Let heaven celebrate. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it roar. Let the countryside and everything in it celebrate. Then all the trees of the forest too will shout for joy." There is something to be celebrated in the created world around us. Last week we thought about transcendent, and God isn't transcendent in relation to his creation. He's not outside of it. God creates out of a free and unfettered will. The psalmist said, "The Lord does whatever he pleases." God is outside of creation. The God whom Paul proclaimed, if you read in Acts 17, when he speaks to the Epicurean and the Stoic philosophers in Athens, was quite a different understanding from everything they'd heard before. Paul says that God is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. I'll let that sink in while I just have a little sip of tea. God is not served by human hands as if he needs anything. God is outside of this created world, transcendent to this creative world. This is the principle that we stand on in our faith, and it's ultimately where our faith gets its understanding. When we look at this world around us, when we look at the planets that we live on, do we believe it came from something? That something other created it beyond our vision and who holds it together? That's a transcendent understanding of God, that he is outside of the created world. That the life we see around us has value, that nature that we're responsible for has worth beyond what it can give us or what it can do for us. We marvel at the world because it was made by the marvelous. But God didn't just stay transcendent, didn't stay outside of creation. God is immanent in creation, within creation. There's a philosophical understanding that understands God as a watchmaker. I wonder if you've come across it. That somehow God made this world, wound all the energy into it, set it going, sat back and watched everything play out. This isn't the God of Scripture. God isn't a watchmaker stepping back from his creation. Page after page of books of the Psalms, of Isaiah, of Job, remind us that God creates and sustains the smallest detail of biology, making the grass grow for the cattle, we read in Psalm 104, supplying food for the lions who roar for their prey and seek their food from God, and for the raven when the young cries out to God. God is involved, invested in this world. Robert Boyle, not someone I came across before, he was a member, early member of the Royal Society and one of the founders of modern chemistry, said this: "God made the world by divine fate and sustains his creation at every moment in time. There was no need to invoke any necessity in the workings of nature, as if the created world had its own mind or could operate as a separate agent. Boyle saw biblical theology as completely subversive to the idea derived from Greek philosophy of an autonomous nature that somehow was any independent from God's creation. If we understand that, we can see the role of science, whether or not scientists acknowledge it as fact, but science is the description of God's activities on earth. I'm sure a few people outside of church might get cross about that. But if God is in creation, created it, sustaining it, then the activities of this world, the activities of science and our understanding point to who God is. Maybe Augustine put the point more succinctly when he said, nature is what God does. Nature is what God does. The whole scheme of nature is what God does. He creates, he sustains, and he sustains from within his creation. Philip Newell, I don't know if you've come across him, in his book Listening to the Heartbeat of God, talks about the way that the early Celtic church understood God as creator and sustainer. He says that the Celtic understanding was that if God were to stop speaking, the whole created universe would cease to exist. If God was to stop speaking, all of this would cease to exist. That God is in all things, the essence of life. God has not created everything out of nothing, but out of his own essence, out of his very lifeblood, he creates. Just as we read in John 1, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that was been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Through him all things are sustained, all things are created. God's very essence, his being. Can't be better expressed than in the personhood of Jesus. In the personhood of Jesus, we see the essence of God. In Jesus, we see the very life of the world, the light of the world. We're jumping around scripture a little bit, but Colossians 1 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. When Jesus walked this earth, he had a deep connection to the ground that he walked on and the birds in the air. Matthew 10 says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of the Father's care. Just stop there for a second. When Jesus walked this world, he said, nothing that God has created doesn't have value. God cares for all of his creation. God cares for the created world. He cares for the animals and the nature that we see around us, but he also cares for you and for me. Nothing falls to the ground without Father's care. We are cared for by God. We are loved by God. Not because he wound it all up and left it go. He loves us because he loves us because he loves us. Everything around us, all of creation, contains something of the unseen life of God. Otherwise, it would cease to exist. We exist because God wills us to exist. The cycle of life is this breath of God working in our lives, in the essence of God working through his creation. As I draw to a close, Claire's going to come and lead us in a meditation on creation. Thank you, Claire.
Good morning. Well, today I'd like to lead you in a meditation based on the words of Pelagius, who I mentioned last week. Look at the animals roaming the forest. God's spirit dwells within them. Look at the birds
flying across the sky. God's Spirit dwells within them. Look at the tiny insects crawling in the grass. God's Spirit dwells within them. Look at the fish in the river and the sea. God's Spirit dwells within them. Look at the great trees of the forest and even at the crops that feed us. God's Spirit dwells within them. There is no creature on earth in whom God is absent. When God pronounced that his creation was good, it was not only that his hand had fashioned every creature, it was that his breath had brought every creature to life. The presence of God's Spirit in all living things is what makes them beautiful. And if we look with God's eyes, nothing on earth is ugly. And I just encourage you to take a moment to consider other aspects of creation, perhaps that you have overlooked, perhaps you have found ugly or frightening or distressing or upsetting. But know that all things are in God's creation. All things are sustained by him. Have a moment and ask God to just guide your thoughts. Father, if you were to stop speaking, all life would cease to exist. You are in all things and hold all things together. Help us to be mindful of you in all things and our part in your creation. Amen.
Well, it's time for our service to come to an end. We're going to finish. The two prayer requests are about children going back to school, and Sam's volunteered to just lead us in a time of prayer for that. So, Sam, please do lead us in prayer.
Dear Lord, these have been hard times, and tomorrow children will be able to see friends that they haven't been able to see for a long time. So I want everyone to tell them that they're not alone and they'll always have someone with them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam. Go and sit down. Well, thank you for joining us this week. Thank you, everyone, for your participation, all the photos. It was great to have so many photos coming in. Thank you, everyone, for sending them through. Next week, it's Mothering Sunday. It sneaks up on you, doesn't it, boys? You need to remember that. It's Mothering Sunday. We're going to be looking at God being parent. God is, in Scripture, called Father. God is our parent. How do we think about that and how do we understand that? Look out for the podcast on Monday, and please do continue to engage with us during the week. And also, just to say, Easter Sunday, you hopefully picked up, you're allowed back in the building, you can book online, and please do come in, join us as we celebrate on Easter Sunday together. And just to say, there's no pressure to come back. If you'd rather be at home, that's fine. There is no pressure. We want you to meet with God, not necessarily meet in this building. So please do, but think about it. If you used to come or you want to come in again, you can book online. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your created world. I thank you that you hold it together and that you are the one who sustains us. Help us to see something of your sustaining power in the days ahead. Lord God, thank you for our fellowship. Bind us together and keep us safe this week. Pray a blessing. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us, and God bless.